Clever. I'm your host, Brett Badil. With me, as always, co-host Sean Stewart.
Hello.
He's waving. You can't see it.
Yeah. Sorry. Shit. Wait, why am I apologizing?
He's been waving every episode, and I just told him for the first time now that no one has been able to see it.
That kind of
you knew, didn't you? Did you know?
No.
You didn't have a clue.
I thought we were broadcasting on the TV.
No, it's just a TV. There's no camera in there. We're not punking you, Sean. This hasn't been 18.
Where's Ashton?
Hasn't been 18 episodes of like a long con. Though, if you've been listening to it, you might think so. It's been a con, all right. Not that one. A different one called "Pay Attention to Sean and Brett." The
just
longest.
Throw it out there. Let's project it. Don't project so hard, Brett.
Sean, my whole life is the long con. Look at me. Look at me. That's the long con.
I don't get it.
I'm playing it slow. Kansas City Shuffle.
Playing it shuffle style? You're going to shuffle it up?
Yeah, you got to shuffle here and there. Or 52 pickup, maybe sometimes.
52 pickup, yeah.
On the switches and knobs is the producer, the people's champ, Brent Bobby. He's nodding. He always nods. He nods because he doesn't want to talk.
No.
Because when he speaks, you know, he's trying to maintain the integrity
buildings
of the sound.
Buildings explode when Brent talks.
He's trying to maintain the integrity of the acoustics, the sound of this very podcast.
And this very world.
And since he's not mic'd right now, he knows that his speech could only have the potential to interfere. So he chooses to remain dumb.
He talks in Morse code mostly.
He blinks Morse code to us.
Blinks or taps, whatever he sees fit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have a small telegraph located behind our seating arrangement here in Medium Clever Studios so that we can receive those messages tapped out by Brandt while we are live on the while we're live recording. Oh wait, I'm going to call in now.
Okay, call in, Brett.
Hey, Sean. I didn't hear
a phone. Are you calling in now? Hey, wait, no. Okay. Okay, call in now.
You want me to call in?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a second. Beep, pop, boop, boop, beep, pop, boop. You going to patch it in, Brent? Okay, patch it in.
Congratulations. Okay. You've won a cruise.
Awesome. I always wanted to win a cruise, you know? I've been getting calls from Michigan every week saying, hey, buddy, you fucking won a cruise.
You've won a cruise to the Atlantic Ocean for fun. I've lost track of what I was going to do.
I have no idea.
This is ridiculous.
You had a bit in your mind, and then now we're not.
No, I didn't even have a bit. I'm just like, I'll do a voice, and then maybe something will happen. I don't know.
Hey, guys.
I feel like I can't hear myself at all. Can you hear me at all?
Yeah, I can hear
you. Okay, perfect.
I can hear you, and I'm on the phone.
As long as you on the phone can hear me. Hey, wait, where are you right now?
I'm in a completely digital space.
Okay, cool. What do you see? Do you see anything?
It's kind of bright.
Really bright?
Yeah, there's lots of like ones and zeros flying by. It's like that show Reboot inside of that. It's like there's people with like hair and blocky guys.
Yeah.
Lots of light, lots of light.
So that's the future, is Reboot.
Pretty bright place. Yeah.
Future's a reboot, you guys.
It's kind of low definition in the future.
A little bit. They'll improve it eventually.
Phone. Yeah. Well, whatever you know.
Okay, how about you hang up and join me back
in
the...
Okay, I'll get out of the phone.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going? That was pretty cool. So it's like Reboot in there, you said.
I'm a little tired, actually. I'm a little tired.
Did that wear you out?
That took a little bit out of me. Going into the phone was okay. Coming out of the phone, that was a little bit more difficult.
That would be pretty intense, I would imagine.
Whew.
Coming in from...
I hope Gizmo never calls ever again.
Oh, my God. He was so annoying.
That Gizmo.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Fucking Gizmo. Whew.
Oh, you know, we never got to talk about this with Brandon Walsh. I wanted to.
Okay. Do it.
We talk about MMA a little bit sometimes because it's one of my interests. And there's this guy... I think the league was XFC, which is, you know, there's the UFC and then there's like Bellator or something like that. Maybe it's probably the next rung. And then like the second and a half or third rung, there's like a bunch of organizations probably. And this is one of those. But they're champion at, I think at 155 pounds. Their champion was this guy who was missing half of one of his arms congenitally.
Really?
Like his left arm goes to the elbow, and then there's just kind of like a little stub
like
there.
Finger or something.
Like yeah, little, there's like yeah, a yeah. kind of like a little stub thing there.
That's
and
messed. And he won?
He won their title. He was their champion at that weight class. And then he quit. He quit because he only wanted to fight. He wanted to fight only like ex UFC guys and stuff because I think he wanted to try and get to the UFC.
Oh,
and I
really?
Don't think they were willing to give him that as their champ because they thought he'd probably just lose right away. But he's undefeated so far. He's only got I think 4 or 5 fights. But I saw a couple on YouTube, and honestly, it was kind of like once he just got around a guy. If he got behind a guy, he could get a choke in, and he could hold, he could turn and hold his little stubby in a way that the way that everyone on Earth has been taught to defend that choke is impossible because his hand isn't there.
It's just locked into his like...
Yeah, exactly. The place where it's supposed to be like two hands coming together is not. It's just like one hand gripped onto the other and it's just tight in. And yeah, so he's used it as to his advantage very well.
For sure.
But I think the theory is that when he starts getting exposed to actual elite competition, that he'll probably, I don't know, if you've only got half of one of your arms, I don't know how you're going to protect your face from getting kicked or punched.
Yeah, that's definitely
You know what I mean? I think the only way this guy can win is by like blitzing you right away and surprising you, because I think if you have any time, you could probably just pick him apart standing up by punching him in his face.
For sure.
You can't protect your head.
Yeah,
you can't
absolutely.
Protect your head with only one arm.
That's true.
Against a guy with two and legs.
And two legs, absolutely.
Especially if he can, especially when they're light guys and they can raise those
kicks,
legs.
Boom.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our
UFC corner.
That's our inappropriate and not entirely fun. There was no comedy there.
No.
We're
just talking MMA strategy.
MMA news corner.
Things that we know so well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a...
I've watched a lot of MMA, Sean, so
yeah,
I'm
going to
pretend that I do it or something.
I'll pretend I understand and just...
Hey, man.
Coin in my two cents where
it's just,
applicable.
We're not nerdy. See, we're cool guys.
Yeah.
Cool sport.
Sport!
Testosterone! We've man juice.
My balls are huge! Full of I don't know.
Full of tiny men, homunculi.
Yeah, there you go.
We don't subscribe to modern science around here. We subscribe to Dark Ages science. Our balls are full of tiny humans.
You know, the first science.
The truest.
The purest science.
Back when science and religion were one and the same. The good old days, as it's known. I think, right?
Yeah, because we had diseases. And
science
stuff.
Is church, and church is science. Everybody wins. And we all go to heaven without rights.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Do you like conspiracy theories, Sean?
No, not really. I think they're very detrimental.
What do you mean?
Detrimental as in, like...
Like to society?
No, well, I guess to society in a way of like how information is perceived. It's I don't know. It's like when you say the Twin Towers were caused by remote airplanes
or whatever. Okay,
and you send that information out, people are going to, you know, believe that sometimes.
Ah. I think,
and it's disgusting to think about.
I think that for a large part, the conspiracy theory websites and forums and stuff are online are kind of like unofficial self-identifying mental illness help groups. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, if they all had counselors, they might not believe in conspiracy theories.
In such ridiculous things.
Like,
right.
You conspiracy theories appeal to you when the world doesn't make sense. Like, when the world doesn't make sense to you and you're confused and you're lost and you're scared, You can run to conspiracy theories because conspiracy theory has an answer for everything. It gives your worldview a way that can't be challenged. And so I think there's comfort in conspiracy theories for people who are
the wrong
probably
kind of comfort.
For manic people. It's comforting, probably.
It's the wrong kind of comfort.
Yes, they should be getting medical help and
or
stuff.
Talk to someone or something,
and like foster some relationships with humanity.
Talk to people; it helps.
You know, some things are going to have vast conspiracies behind them, like not 9/11, but Bush going into Iraq was kind of a conspiracy. There was no reason for that. Like, 9/11 didn't have anything to do with Iraq. The Iraq was, there's WMDs,
exactly.
And there wasn't.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a conspiracy. That's a conspiracy. But, you know, every time something bad happens, there's shitheads on the internet going, false flag, false flag.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Because, well, here's the thing. Yeah, guess what? Throughout history, there have been occasions where false flag operations have taken place, where, you know, an attack happens and a group says they Canadian commandos storm the American embassy, but they're dressed as Mexicans. That's a false flag because it's designed to get attention to Mexico, not Canada. So
right.
It's Canada doing a subvert mission to try and fuck with somebody else.
So
those kinds of things have happened in history, but when something bad happens, that is probably what happened maybe one out of every 5,000 times.
For sure.
Very rare occasions. It can't possibly be every single time.
They're not that coordinated.
Well, it's just like
people.
There's so many mentally ill people, and they all have access to the internet, so that maybe only one in 5,000 people believe in each conspiracy, but one out of every 5,000 people is still several hundred thousand people globally.
Yeah,
so they can all still be coming up with a conspiracy or two that they're fixated on, and that can populate the world of conspiracies by a lot. I mean,
for sure.
Some conspiracies don't make any sense. Like, there's no reason, but some guys like, yes, Andrew W.K. has been replaced. You know, like...
Right. They can't just grasp the concept that he shaved.
No matter how silly a conspiracy sounds, there is some mentally ill person on the internet somewhere who does already or has the capacity to believe it.
Yeah,
people
for
think
sure.
Andrew W.K. was replaced. Why? There's no good... No,
and how?
Why would anyone replace Andrew W.K.? Like, oh, the real Andrew W.K. didn't want to play Andrew W.K. anymore, so he quit. And they needed to find a new guy to play Andrew W.K. That doesn't make any sense. Andrew W.K., because...
And Elvis Presley is fighting a mummy in a fucking
Elvis Presley, it would make sense. Like, Andrew W.K. isn't a big enough commercial force to be worth the hassle of trying to replace him without telling anybody. You know what I mean? Like, there's not enough money to be gained to try that move. Andrew W.K. isn't popular
Maybe
enough.
Maybe there is. I don't know.
Andrew W.K. isn't popular enough to risk.
I think he's popular enough.
He is, but not to risk trying to get away with something as silly as that.
As replacing himself?
As replacing him with another actor as Andrew W.K.
I get, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's a little far-fetched.
That's like what you do when it's like you're in the corner and you owe like the loan sharks $400,000 and they're going to kill you tomorrow and you have no way to get the money. That's when you like, Andrew W.K. was replaced. Like I know what we'll do to get that money. We'll replace Andrew W.K. He retired 6 months ago. We didn't tell anyone.
Let's get someone else.
There's this heroin guy I know. I'll just get him out there. He'll do Andrew W.K. And then I can pay the loan sharks back and I won't be murdered. Like, that's when that like strategy gets used, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't think that was what was happening. So, but yeah, it just goes to show you that there's enough crazy people out there that any kind of silly conspiracy could be believed in, but
absolutely.
they're never the most likely thing that happened, so they're almost never actually right. But you know, every once in a while one crazy person is going to be right, and then all the other crazy people feel validated by it.
Yeah, true enough.
People feel fucking validated by coincidence. It's confirmation bias.
I agree.
You know what else really disturbs me?
What's that?
Dolphin altruism.
the idea that dolphins heal you,
or that dolphins
when you're around them, or whatever,
and the idea that dolphins like will protect humans from sharks and shit.
Right.
Like that dolphins
will scare away sharks.
That dolphins like care about other animals and like
those scare away sharks, but they won't do it just for you. They'll do it because they're assholes. They're assholes of the ocean. They really are.
Well, you know, I don't know, man. It really disturbs me, and it disturbs me because it's like, I just feel like, have we talked about this before? I feel like it's not far in the future that we might find out how smart they really are. Like, I think it's not out of, like, maybe I'm just nerdy, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we'll figure out a way to communicate with dolphins and that they will be able to talk back. And if they are smart enough to be altruistic and, like, helping people out and shit, like, I just think that's really scary, because then we're going to find out how smart they are, and then we're going to have to feel a lot of collective shame about how we haven't been protecting them well enough.
Right, and then they're going to have to, like, you know, apply for a minority and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll start immigrating into Canada.
We'll start taking up all
our seaside places.
Hawaii will be a big reserve, the dolphin reserve. God. Oh, yeah. Once the global sea level goes up a couple more feet, they can have the Maldives. The Maldives will be under.
Fuck, they can have Manitoba. Underwater by then.
The Maldives are like, I read something, the entire archipelago of the Maldives has no point that is more than 8 feet above sea level.
Jesus.
So if the ice caps melt, there's just no more Maldives.
Nothing. Well, Manitoba has a pretty low
yeah, but we're so far inland that it doesn't really matter that much.
I guess so.
Yet.
You
think of Lake Agassiz is going to come back? Then we'll be able to fish. Yeah. Old fishermen again. Old school style.
Yeah. You know what it is. Hey, it's fishing.
Do you ever just want to, like,
nuclear fishing? Am I right?
We're going nuclear fishing, kids.
Fishing.
We're going to take our rods on a fishing party. Chernobyl party.
Nuclear fishing with dynamite. I don't know. I got nothing.
I'm going fishing in the ocean. Yeah? I'm using this.
Fishing. Absolutely.
I'm going to go fishing in the ocean.
Fishing river monster style.
But I'm using a nuclear bomb. I'm going to blow it up underwater, see if I catch me a whale. I caught a whale! A dead whale!
I'm reeling him in.
A cancer whale. Don't eat that whale. You'll get cancer. Well, if I blew it up with a nuke underwater.
Yeah, well, there's a good chance.
It's probably not safe cancer to eat.
It's probably some cancery
bits. You're
not
gonna eat like a nuclear whale.
If you're hungry enough, you might. I don't know.
I guess, yeah. At a certain point, it's like, do I want to die tomorrow or do I want to die?
Yeah, it's all about choice, you know.
Yeah. I'd rather die in a year of my whale cancer.
Whale cancer.
Do you ever like to like think of like a catchphrase and want to force it on people? Just like, here's. Call the people from Guinness.
No, I can't say I have.
I'm gonna start using that one.
Call the people from Guinness.
Call the people from Guinness.
I couldn't think of a catchphrase.
So next
for
time
myself.
You say something where I think it's appropriate, that's what I'm gonna do. Like some people will just be like, "That's what she said."
Right.
But those people should D-I-A-F.
D-I-A-F.
In a fire. In a fire. Mm-hmm.
I've lost.
You're not a good person, Sean.
I know. I'm terrible.
I lost a little weight this year, but I want to lose more because, like, yeah. And it's not even like I want to lose enough weight so that I can wear my Rage Against the Machine 1997 World Tour T-shirt. We talk about this?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay, we didn't.
No.
Okay.
Is it in decent condition?
It's got a couple little holes in it. I was worried we talked about it on the podcast, but no. But I don't want to wear it. I don't actually want to wear it. I'd like to lose enough weight so that I could wear it.
Right.
But I'm not actually going to wear it because it's a 1997 Rage Against the Machine shirt. Like, it's, I'm an adult now, and I've grown up, so I'm not into Rage Against the Machine anymore. Like,
fair enough.
Like, it's pretty stupid. It's pretty stupid. Like, oh, no, not even that. Like, the message is dumb. It's like, oh, yeah, like, oh, Rage Against the Machine, man. They're so smart. They're so with it. They're so fucking, yeah, down with the man, right? The shirt, it's a hand, right? And the hand is holding a bunch of money, and underneath it, it says, who is beyond the law? Holy shit, Rage Against the Machine. That's fucking deep. I had no idea until I saw that shirt and listened to their music that rich people had a better life than people who aren't rich. Rage Against the Machine really opened my eyes to the world with their dangerous message. Hey, they had such a dangerous communist message. They must have. Which dangerous indie label were they on? Sony Records? Sony Records, right. Dangerous indie label Sony Records is who released every single Rage Against the Machine album. Right. They're fucking dangerous outlaws, man. They're renegades of funk.
I never thought they were dangerous.
Fuck Rage Against the Machine. I just want to be able to wear
music.
It's just a medium t-shirt. It'd be nice to think I could wear it.
It's a medium. Why do you still have it? Just get rid of it.
I don't know. No, you know what? I even wore it in university a few times. So it's
did you?
So it's, I know that if I got to a decent weight, it would actually fit. So I just, it's more about a nostalgia about being a thinner man than wearing that actual shirt.
It's like memories of better days.
Oh, let's be thinner. No, they aren't better days. Life is better now. Life gets better as you get older.
That's true.
I just want to be thinner, and I can do that.
Fair enough.
And then it'll be even better as I get older. Check that out. I wanted to talk about this new Game of Thrones, but producer hasn't seen it.
I think we should talk about it anyway because it was.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Should we?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, man. I read the book, so I knew what was happening. Okay. And because I knew what was going to happen, I just didn't watch most of the end of the episode. Being recorded right now.
Me?
There you go. Well,
good. No.
There you go.
No. I can't hear myself, so I don't know what
the fuck. Yeah, you're there now.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so.
So I didn't really watch the end of the episode because I knew what was happening, and I knew how violent it was going to be. And the, like, for me, one of the few things that is still guaranteed to shock and disturb me in anything, is to have someone getting their throat cut.
The throat slit, yeah.
Throat slitting is something that I don't like seeing. It's shocking and it's disturbing. And Game of Thrones, I will give it, because it walks this line where it does brutal violence regularly, but it still feels like it resonates when it happens. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, for sure.
Horrible, brutal things will happen, but they don't happen flippantly. Like,
they still
carry weight when they happen. So it's not happening so much that it's, like, meaningless.
Like The Walking Dead, where it's just gore all the time.
Mm. Yeah, that
it gets a little excessive after a while.
It's like how many abdomens can you watch get ripped open?
Yeah, or the go-to
zombie
or shot
moves.
Off, or whatever. It's gross.
It's just like, fascination with dismemberment.
No,
I think I'm over zombies for the most part. I like Shaun of the Dead, and I'm good with that.
Yeah.
That's enough. It's enough for me.
Well,
World War Z. That trailer, the piles. The piling.
They look like fucking little ants.
The piling of that is horrifying. It's disturbing. Yeah. It's effectively disturbing.
I would definitely check it out. It looks CG'd all hell, which is kind of a turnoff. But
and I saw another trailer that freaked me out. I can't remember what it was called. It was an astronaut movie.
And Elysium?
No. I don't think it was Elysium.
I don't even know what Elysium is about. So
no, that's like an action future sci-fi movie with Matt Damon, I think.
Okay, so the exact opposite of what you're talking about.
But it's like two astronauts, and I think they're just like in Earth orbit or whatever. But it's like there's an explosion, and there's just this moment in the trailer where the female astronaut is like being thrown away from like everything, and it's like. There's a moment in the trailer where it's like she tries to grab onto the last thing and misses it. And it uncovered a fear that I didn't know I had.
The missing the,
it just like
holding,
like when I think it was, the fear of the void, you know, like that was the last hope of not slipping away into space,
nothing.
Into the void of nothing, into purgatory
until
she dies. And then she can go see if there's real purgatory, which there isn't.
No.
It was a recent movie? It's not out yet, I don't think. I think I saw it as a trailer before The Great Gatsby, I believe.
Okay.
But it freaked me out, man. Like I said, I was not previously aware of how intense I could feel that particular fear.
For sure.
But holy shit, it was just like it jumped right up on top of me.
Have you ever seen that movie Frozen?
No.
It's a small
ski lift
movie.
One?
It's the one with the ski lift. Like it's pretty interesting for a horror movie anyway. Being that, like, you know, in that area where it's like this is like a normally okay thing, but come nightfall, not so much. That made total sense to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that. Made sense to me. That's what matters.
Yeah, yeah. It's a normal. It would be a normal situation, and then, but when you get stuck there out of context. It can turn horrifying
to
very quickly.
Awfulness.
Like if you're riding around on a boat, you're like, all right, I'm cool. I'm on a boat. And then the engine dies. And
then you're stranded.
And then what do you think? Yeah. Then what do you know, huh?
And then ravenous catfish come.
You slip through the
and Bermuda. And eat all your bread.
You slip through the Bermuda Triangle. You wake up. You're the only person on board. You have no idea how to captain this fucking vessel.
Yep.
You're on a ghost ship now, son, until you die.
And now you're in the ship.
Until you get the crazies and you jump overboard.
Or you, crazies.
Yeah, you get the sea crazies. The old Bermuda crazies.
Going back to the throat slit, I can handle a decent throat slit like Game of Thrones. It was a little, I mean.
It's so gross.
It was pretty excessive.
It's also not really realistic because it wouldn't spray out evenly from an entire neck, but whatever.
Yeah.
There would be like some spurting from either side, but it would still be.
No, it pours out.
Not quite that. Like it doesn't.
Not
whatever.
Like that,
it would be gross. No, it would
I've
be gross.
Seen,
it's disgusting. I don't even.
Who's
want,
watched
you know, I don't
cows
even want
die?
About,
here.
I don't even want to think about it.
I know what. I know how it goes.
It just makes me want to wear like a neck brace.
Guard. Absolutely.
It makes me want to like I have envisions where I'm like, why isn't everyone wearing like sweaters with armor plating in them all the time?
Yeah, no doubt. You're exposed there. That's a weak point.
When all of a sudden you start feeling a little paranoid just as you're like, you realize how fucking human life is so fragile.
Yeah.
We're just
no
sacks
doubt.
Of blood. If they get pierced, all the blood
we're
leaks
done.
Out and we die.
Fucking body. When are we going to, you know, evolve into metallic bodies? When is that going to happen?
I want a fucking carapace and I want it stacked.
Anyways, my hot button, going back to the throat slit, my hot button is like anything that does like the rectal bleeding, like on House.
Oh,
that's my hot button. I can't handle that shit.
Okay, I never really watched House. There was a lot of rectal bleeding.
There's a couple episodes where it's just like.
Where they just say rectal bleeding a lot?
No, like they turn the patient.
There's like
blood
an x-ray
or whatever.
And stuff in his butt.
And the butt stuff. It's, Yeah, that's my hot button. I can't handle that. Or,
So I guess you don't like getting pegged, huh?
No.
Okay. Me neither, but, you know, just saying. Based on that, I could probably assume.
Yeah, for sure.
Butt stuff, huh? And
butt
Colin
stuff.
Colin because really gets disturbed by, like, hand dismemberments and cuts and stuff.
Yeah. That's messed up. What's up with
Brent, do you have
hands
some,
or nothing?
Do you have some weird thing that
yeah,
really...
Yeah, tap it out on the table for us.
That, yeah, tap us out a little code.
Or give us a blink, whatever.
Oh, he's got something.
Complete vaporization of the body. That's a little intense, I guess.
Oh, wow. Spontaneous combustion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brant, that's why Brant doesn't drink quite as much as he used to. Because he's got an intense fear of spontaneous combustion.
Absolutely.
He's done the reading. He knows that the documented cases seem mostly to happen to people who are soaked with booze from ingestion primarily.
And general
stupidity. But also they may have bathed in booze. Like, maybe some people...
I love booze.
I'm going to get drunk in a bath of Everclear.
This tub whiskey's good. Let's swim in it.
I'm not going to drink it. I'm just going to soak my clothes in it and see if it gets in my skin. I'm pickling myself with Everclear on my clothes.
Smirt move.
It's like a wetsuit, but it just holds in a layer of vodka.
So, Game of Thrones. We didn't really spoil it.
We didn't really go into Game of Thrones.
No, we just kind
of... There was a lot of awful violence. Look, there's a scene.
Yeah.
There's one scene that's like fun action violence.
There are a couple good scenes.
And then there's a big scene of with major stuff happening that's just like brutal, disturbing violence.
Right.
And that's mostly what happens. I guess we don't have to
some
ruin
good spoilers.
It. We'll try not to ruin it then.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we're not going to ruin it for anyone who hears this because it's coming out in the future.
Right. Like last week's this is last week's
like
episode.
Like it aired last night. So it would be okay, say, if the producer hadn't seen it today. But for you people listening, I assume have seen it if you care about that show. But we don't need to get into it. That's fine. You probably saw it already. So
you know
good
the
for
awfulness.
You. You know what's up. It was all right. And Sam saw the wall. He learned some stuff from books.
Yep.
You know, important shit. And it was all done on a pretty good budget on this one. They didn't have to go too extravagant on any of that stuff, clearly, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to animate like a White Walker in an episode that costs a lot of money.
For sure.
You can sack a whole city with one small
or whatever.
Apparently you can sack a whole city with one group battle sequence.
Right.
But that's fine.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That happened.
Oh, hey, you know, this morning there was I can't remember what happened now. There was this custody hearing, right? And so this father shows up for his custody hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a trim mustache that looks like a Hitler mustache. And
perfect.
And he's wearing a Nazi
facial
uniform.
Hair.
He's wearing
okay, perfect.
And he's got a swastika tattooed on his neck.
So he's a Nazi then.
And he's at his custody hearing. And that's how he dresses.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, put on the formal duds. To go see the judge.
What was he
about
going...
getting your kid back?
Okay. Oh, he's
hey, I'm going to prove that I'm a good father.
I showed up on
in
time
in my Nazi uniform. Like maybe. He's going to see the swastika tattoo on my neck. That's clear. So
right.
Maybe if the swastika matches the rest of the ensemble. It won't seem out of place. Maybe that was is that the thinking?
Maybe. He was coordinating.
He was trying to throw it.
Is there really any purpose to?
He was trying to throw attention off the swastika on his neck with the Hitler stash.
Right.
Nope, that didn't work. And the custody. He's trying to get custody of a child. His child is named Adolf Hitler.
Oh God.
He wants Hitler back. He just wants Adolf Hitler back.
Fair enough.
Adolf Hitler has...
Let the Nazis have their Hitler back.
Adolf Hitler has... he has some siblings. He has a couple sisters. Hoslin Hinler Jeannie and Joyce Lynn Aryan Nation.
That's one kid?
Those are two kids.
Okay.
Their father's name is Heath Campbell. So I'm assuming it's Hoslin Hinler Jeannie Campbell and Joyce Lynn Aryan Nation Campbell. And then Adolf Hitler, let's say he's probably Adolf Hitler Campbell, or maybe just Adolf Hitler. Doesn't really matter. Kind of gets the point across. Don't think that hearing went in his favor.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Now he can't complete his collection of terrible children with...
He was trying to build a tiny Third Reich.
Yeah.
Just trying to build the taut The Third Reich of Tots.
Sorry.
He was just trying to start a Japanese photo meme with uniformed children with tiny Hitler. And now he'll never get it done.
Oh, well.
He was just trying to cash in on get some viral cash, you know? You get your son named Adolf Hitler on the internet, you're going to get some hits.
Baby Hitler would be huge on YouTube.
Yeah. That's going to get YouTube attention.
Absolutely.
I got another good news story for you,
okay,
Sean.
Okay, shoot.
Yesterday, Sunday, June 2nd, in Florida.
So last week.
Whatever. In Florida. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't matter. The people who are listening to this understand that it's not recorded and released at the exact same time, and it's not live, and you're probably listening to it at any point in the future, whatever. So I'm saying that it happened on Sunday, June 2nd, 2013.
Right.
A Florida bouncer shot and killed three of his bouncer coworkers.
Whoa, why?
Well, you see, the one of them made a video of him. It was like a prank video where the murderer was pranked by, they went to a shooting range and they had, and his gun misfired. And they made like a prank video. They videotaped him while he misfired a gun.
Okay.
And so the one guy videotaped him misfiring the gun and I guess was suspected of tampering with the weapon so that it would misfire.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two gentlemen laughed at the video. So they all got murdered.
Well, of course. They laugh at the video.
Hey, don't laugh at my shooting or I'll shoot you to fucking death. Hey, you fucked up with that gun. Oh, yeah?
No, now you're dead, motherfucker! Now you're dead!
Three
As
counts.
I kill myself.
Three counts. First degree murder.
Good. That's how it should be.
They're not laughing anymore.
Well, no, they're dead.
That's right.
And he's laughing all the way to jail.
All the way to jail.
Where he'll die.
Forever.
Forever.
Have fun.
Bye.
Have fun in jail forever. Have fun committing suicide.
Asshole.
Yeah. I think we can safely call that guy an asshole.
It's a safe bet, yeah.
Seems all right. You know what Wikipedia is good for? I mean, Wikipedia is good for a lot of things. I think I've mentioned before how good it is when you want to learn about sea life.
For sure. Or
also,
plants.
If you just want to learn about, like, weapons that they used to use in wars and stuff. Like, World War II had, like, crazy shit happening sometimes. Like, there was the flame tank.
The flame tank?
You know, I mean, there were some tanks that shot fire and stuff. But, like, some guy designed some colossal flame tank where the, I just saw some concept art where it was, the idea was like to kind of literally just rain fire.
Oh,
from
really?
From a distance.
Okay. Oh,
and,
shit.
And the idea was that they wouldn't, was even, not even that they would have to use it. It was like a pre-nuclear nuclear deterrent where they were just like, merely the threat of how terrifyingly awful this thing is.
Just launching fireballs.
Will stop war from happening. Like, you know what? 400 years before that, someone invented the trebuchet or whatever and said, this is too scary. This will create, like, every 100 years someone has created a bigger weapon and claimed that more destruction would somehow create peace. And they've been wrong. Bigger guns don't create peace. They just create bigger war.
Yeah, true enough.
So it's flawed logic, but it would be scary to see it, to have a flame tank.
I'd retreat.
More exciting was, like, the UK had a plan for rat bombs.
Rat bombs? Where they, like, just took, bombs attached to,
like,
rats?
No. They took, like, dead rats, right?
Okay.
And they skin a rat.
Okay.
And they take the rat skin and they fill it with plastic explosive and a detonator, and then they sew it back up so that it looks like a rat. And there's a tail is the fuse.
Right.
And so the idea was just so that it was supposed to be like an undercover weapon. It was supposed to be something they'd be able to smuggle.
Right.
I don't know why you'd be, like, traveling with a dead rat. Like, I guess you just put him in the truck.
Dead rat.
You just put him in the truck somewhere, and it's like, oh, there was a rat in the truck. I guess it died. Because it wouldn't work.
Boom.
It wouldn't work if you're going through, like, a personnel, like you're getting frisked or something. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I just carry that
dead rat.
It's my lucky dead rat. It's not a bomb.
Yeah. That'd be hard to, the tail would set off.
No, I guess you'd light the tail, right? No, it was like you'd light the tail or something, I think. I don't remember.
Because C4 is usually detonated, like, remotely.
Yeah, I guess. But what actually happened was they didn't end up getting used. They made, like, 100 of them or a couple hundred of them. And they were trying to ship them behind enemy lines, and the Germans intercepted them.
Oh, okay.
But this is what happened. The Germans intercepted a big crate full of rat bombs, and they found out that they had rat bombs. And what they did was they took those examples and they showed them to every soldier and every school child. Like, they educated everyone about this secret weapon or, like, to watch out. And so people were wasting – so German citizens and soldiers were wasting thousands of hours – looking for and killing rats and stuff that were
saving lives.
It ended up it didn't save any lives because they didn't actually use any of them.
Well, I know.
It ended up creating a much bigger positive effect for the Allies psychologically and morally and around wasted resources than it would have if they'd actually used them. So they were more effective by being intercepted than by being actually used as bombs.
True enough.
Because
dead rats in a bomb would be kind of ridiculous to set
up. I've packed this bomb with dead rats.
Okay, this is what we do. We get some rats, we kill them, and we stuff them with C4 and put them on enemy lines.
No, we kill the rats. We take a box, we put C4 in the box, we fill the box with rats.
Oh my God, yes.
It's a rat bomb.
And then we send it overseas.
Kablooey, rats everywhere. Dead rats.
And they're going to be like, look at these dead rats. Who would send us dead rats? And then they blow up.
Yes. It's perfect.
Let's take it to America.
Could never go wrong. Can you hear me? Okay, I can hear you.
Can I hear? I still can't hear me.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. Also, the Russians had anti-tank dogs. This is really the last one I want to talk about.
Anti-tank dogs?
Yeah. Guess.
What?
Guess,
how does that even?
Guess how a dog could be an anti-tank dog.
I would imagine running in front of the barrel and plugging itself into the barrel. I don't know how a dog would be effective against a tank.
How big were the barrels? Like, at most, what, 72 millimeters?
They could fit
They were like 72
in.
Millimeters. So, like, Sean's just... The
Go,
Russians,
dog!
What kind of... It's a Russian breed of dog. Like, what? Like, the Russians have, like an army of Pomeranians all, like, jumping up trying to shove their head
what do you
in
think?
These... Barrels?
What do you think Pomeranian is Russian for? Bomb or tank dog? It means tank dog in Russian. Look it up.
And
it's on Google.
What about a Pomeranian skull would stop a tank shell?
I agree. It's a poorly crafted plan.
Here's what actually happened,
okay,
Sean.
They would take these dogs
and they'd put a vest on the dog, and the vest would have all kinds of explosives on it.
Oh, perfect!
And on the back, so sticking up from the dog's back would be like a forearm length piece of metal that was like a lever.
Right.
So there was like a 18-inch or piece of a lever sticking up from the dog's back. The dogs were trained. To dive that there was food in
under the tank?
Under the tanks, that there would be food under a tank. So they were trained to think that there would be food under a tank, and then they were starved. And then they were fitted with a vest and let loose where they could see a tank. And they would run right at the tank, and they would dive under it, and when they did, the lever would get pushed, and kablammo.
Boom.
And this
that
worked,
was effective.
It worked so well that Germans just started shooting every single dog they saw.
Fair enough. I mean, a little excessive, but I understand why.
So the greater point here is that because of weaponry, the Germans were spending a lot of time, I guess, killing rats and dogs. What were the you thought the Germans? You thought the Germans were just killing your grandpa? No. The Germans are just killing your grandpa. They were spending a lot of time needlessly, like, they lost the war. I like thinking that they lost the war because they were too busy killing rats and dogs to kill the people, and they got murdered.
Right.
D-Day. Yeah, everyone was looking. The guys, all the allies, they came up the beach on D-Day, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, the Germans were all looking the other way for dogs.
Absolutely.
That's how D-Day worked.
They're like, dude, there are dogs and rats coming.
They're not going to come on the beach. Look, we put all this stuff on the beach.
Watch out for rats.
But watch from those fields, man. Fucking rats and dogs might fuck your shit up. They're going to fuck your shit up. And then, boom, landing boats are all there. And it's like, what the fuck?
Wait, when did this happen?
What the fuck? While I was... Leben! I'm trying to do some Wolfenstein shit. I was trying to pull some German now to try.
My Leben!
Achtung!
Or my Naven. Was it Naven or Leben?
Mein Leben, I thought they used mein to
Leben.
Say. I don't know.
It sounded like my
Naven.
I was
trying to come up with some Germany sounds, but I didn't. I failed.
I don't know
sounds.
German.
So, yeah. So, anyway, the Allies won because the Germans were looking for dogs.
Yep.
Pomeranians won the war.
And that, well, no, they didn't. they were extremely ineffective for what they were supposed to be doing.
Shove your head in there.
Go, Fritzy, go!
Go, go, go! I'm pretty sure I saw an episode that intimated that the Littlest Hobo won the war.
What?
Yeah, that's an episode, that's the lost episode of the Littlest Hobo.
Really?
The Littlest Hobo kills Hitler.
That's amazing.
No.
That's awesome.
Littlest hobo's riding like on a train to a concentration camp by accident, and he hops off and kills Hitler. Yeah. They didn't air it. It was too controversial.
I would imagine so.
Maybe tomorrow I'll find nothing.
I don't even remember the
Until
theme song.
Tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. I only remember little bits and pieces. But I know that every stop I make, I make a new friend, and then something. That I know they say hobo style at one point in the song, and
hobo
hobo style could be so many different things. And I don't know why I've never heard it used anywhere but the Littlest Hobo theme song. But I know, and personally in my life, I apply hobo style now almost daily. And
fair
you
enough,
know, if you use
style.
It properly, it's self-evident what it means.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's great. I like that. Would you like to have a weird conversation with me, Sean? About something strange?
Sure. Okay. I'm cool with continuing the tank dog conversation.
Well,
if we want to get
well, really what
weird.
Breed of dog do you think would be most effective at tanks?
The way that with the vest and the explosives, that's probably the best way to use dogs.
Right. So, but now if you're thinking like, okay, so now they know we have tank dogs, what dog's going to be the best one at taking out tanks and also avoiding getting shot?
That's a good question. Jack Russell's?
You're looking for efficiency, like speed?
Yeah.
Like the smallest, fastest thing?
Yeah, you want fast efficiency and just small enough to, plug...
But it's kind of hard to be fast and small because the speed of a dog is mostly based on its stride length.
Yeah, for sure.
So is there like a low-to-the-ground dog with long legs and a tiny body?
Not yet.
I'm trying to imagine some sort of a spider dog.
Spider dog?
Who's got like a little body and these big long legs.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Scientists, get on it.
It's just
we need that.
Just Jake from Adventure Time.
Yeah.
He'd be a good anti-tank dog, obviously.
Oh, of course. Well, he has, magical powers,
so
he doesn't
he? Magic a tank out of existence. He'd turn it into, a flower pot or something.
Absolutely.
The people inside, though, would turn into dirt.
And then he'd water them, and then they'd bloom.
Yeah. That's exactly what would happen. No, no. Okay. The people that are in the tank trying to kill you would turn into dirt, and when he watered them, they'd bloom, and they'd be the flowers. So, Sean.
Yes.
We're from Manitoba. We've been driving through, provincial parks and stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you're driving through a park, and it's at night, and, maybe you're tired, and you're not paying full attention, and Bigfoot walks into the road, and you strike Bigfoot and kill Bigfoot with your vehicle.
And kill him?
You have killed Bigfoot with your vehicle.
Okay.
What do you do? On one hand, you could be the guy who discovered proof of Bigfoot, but you will be unable to extricate the guy who discovered Bigfoot from the guy who killed Bigfoot.
Well, I mean, you could be both, couldn't you? I mean,
no, you'd have to be both. There would no way to be one or the other, is what I'm saying. So you can either,
I would probably just tell people,
you either roll it into the ditch and bury it, or roll it in the ditch for somebody else to find, or you find it, or you report it, knowing that you'll also have to take ownership of murdering it.
Well, it's not like
so that when the ACLU finds out that it's 80% human, then you go to jail for forever with the guy who shot his buddies.
Yeah.
They laughed. They
you
laughed at a video. They died.
I would probably watch that video Bigfoot before I went in there and left.
And then he'd kill you.
And then he'd try to kill me.
Well, he'd try to. He would.
I'd use my ninja on him.
You'd use your ninja? You have a ninja?
Yep.
You take the ninja out of
my own ninja.
No, I'm smuggling a
mini
ninja.
Ninjas.
I'm smuggling a tiny ninja into prison in my butthole. Yep. Or my pocket.
Nope.
I got a pocket ninja.
He hides in my ear.
You got an ear ninja. He's, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Sean has hired the Adam to be his personal protector in prison. He's going to live
he's
in
pretty
your
good
ear
with a
most
knife
of the time. He's got to be real silent when he's in your ear, though.
Well, yeah. The slightest noise he makes is fucking like decibels.
But then
upon
he can just
decibels
pop out and become big and kick someone's ass, and then
yeah,
pop
absolutely
back up into your ear,
and then boom.
And he only does it when it's like solo, so everyone thinks you're tough. And they don't know that.
Yeah, yeah,
the
exactly
Adam jumps out of your ear and takes a
they
guy
have
out
no clue.
That's cool. That's cool. That's awesome. That's a good. That's a good squad.
I
that's
owe him so much money, though. Like,
yeah, well,
ridiculous.
Dr. Palmer's not cheap.
He's not at all.
Nope. Ray's going to cost you a pretty penny, but he'll shrink and jump.
But
in
he
your
does
ear
good work. I mean,
great work.
I recommend him.
Lives in your ear, like no trouble.
If you need help in jail, he's the guy to talk to.
Yeah, other situations he could also help with, but that's he's get that's like his day job these days.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Justice League of America is not
no,
the best gig
paying
in the world as
they're
far as like
much
a paying gig goes. I mean, sure, you get to spend some time orbiting the world
and saving
on
humanity
a giant
occasionally
space station, but yeah, but you still have to pay the rent.
You got bills to pay.
Yeah, you have a secret identity. If you have a secret identity, the government can't pay your rent.
Yeah.
You know, so you
got to
have a
job.
Think about
that. Chew on that bit of knowledge.
Chew on that, America.
Yeah, or wherever, Brazil.
Anyone.
I imagine
so
we're big
just
in Brazil.
Be like, yeah, I fucking killed Bigfoot. I hit him with my car.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. It was an accident.
It was an accident, but this is a dead Bigfoot right here.
I have a dashboard cam.
Oh, yeah?
So
it would be on YouTube like
so
that, like
it looked like Bigfoot was trying to scam me out of money, but I just accidentally killed him.
So it'd be like... Oh, no, man, fucking Bigfoot just ran over the street and slowed down in front of me.
Like
he was trying to scam my insurance. I just hit him, and he's dead.
Like, you see him, like preparing to fall onto the windshield, but his neck takes a funny turn and just flies off.
You didn't notice, but when you go back and check the...
he's just like, okay.
You check the tape, and you see Bigfoot, like, you see, like, a head poking out of the out of the brush.
He's
looking
ready.
As he sees the headlights coming, he jumps. You see him leap out.
And his neck just, boom!
Doesn't end well. It just...
Oh, no! Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah.
That's what it sounded like when Bigfoot phones in and dies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, thanks for calling in and dying, Bigfoot.
Fucking Bigfoot.
Thank God. All right, so we're just going to sign it off. Thanks for listening. Theme song is When I'm Gone, My Blood Will Be Free by Call Me Lightning. It's been Sean Stewart and Brett Medill, producer Brant Bobby. It's Medium Clever. Check us out. We lost our Twitter password, so don't worry about that.
Exactly.
It won't try to sell you like gluten-free donuts or whatever. It hasn't been hacked, but it's not active. Not that anyone was following it. But yeah, mediumclever.com.
Check it out.
Blah, blah.